Now, through most of this, I'd been so shocked and then so confused that I'd stood motionless. I had been afraid of doing anything for fear of doing the wrong thing, but the sight of my friends' faces outside nudged me to act, since I didn't wish to look tongue-tied or indecisive. "Since you have just asserted we have no business here," I pointed out, an assertion we disagree with, by the way, "it would not be in our interests to supply you with weapons." By this time, other members of our Peregrine group had crowded onto the patio. Fra Jad came in, shouldered Estimart out of his way, took in the cell at a glance, and began examining the leaves and phototypes Orlo had put on the wall. This, much more than being knocked down by Leo or planed by me, made Estimard realize he was outmatched. He got smaller somehow and looked away. Unlike the rest of us, he'd only had a few minutes to get used to being in the presence of a thousander. "Leo, a lot of people carry sidearms out here." It was Cord. "I can see why you got the wrong idea, but take my word for it, he was not going to draw down on you." No one responded. "Come on, you bunch of sad sacks. It's picnic time."
"Picnic?" I said.
"After we are finished with our service," Estimart said. "We have a cookout on the green, if the weather is good."
Cord's intervention seemed to have cheered him up a little. I glanced out the door and caught the eye of Archibald, out on the patio. He raised his eyebrows. Yes, Estimard has become a Deolater. Back in the Consent, we'd always pictured pharaohs as long-haired wild men, but Estimard looked like a retired chemist out for a day hike. Estimard held me in a careful gaze.
"You must be Erasmus," he said.
This seemed to settle something for him. He breathed deeply, shaking off the last vestiges of the shock he had gone into when Leo had helped him to the floor.
"Yes, all of you are invited to the picnic, if you promise not to assault people."
Seeing the objection percolating through my brain towards my face, he smiled and added,
"People who haven't assaulted you first, that is. And I doubt they will. They're more tolerant of avowed than you are of them."
"Where's Orlo?" Fra Jad, still planted with his back to us, currently viewing the phototypes of the open-pit mine, startled us all by unlimbering his subsonic voice.
"Orlo has gone north."
Estimard was astonished. Then the smile crept back onto his face as he figured out how the Thousander had figured this out.
"Fra Jad has it right."
"We shall attend the picnic,"
Fra Jad announced, pronouncing the fluckish word with tweezers.
"Leo Erasmus and I shall go down last, in the vehicle of Ganeliel Crade."
This directive filtered out to the patio. People turned around and headed back toward the vehicles. Leo took the ammunition magazine out of the gun and handed them back separately to Estimard, who departed, reluctantly, with Criskin. As soon as they had passed out through the makeshift gate, Fra Jad reached out and began plucking the leaves off the wall. Leo and I helped and gave all that we had harvested to Fra Jad. He left most of the phototypes alone, but took the ones that depicted the big hole in the ground and handed them to me. The Thousander went out to Orlo's cloister and stuffed all of the leaves into the brazier. Then he reached into Orlo's food locker and took out the matches.
"I infer from the label that this is a fire-making praxis," he said.
We showed him how to use matches. He set fire to Orlo's leaves. We all stood around until they had turned to ash. Then Fra Jad stirred the ashes with a stick.
"Time for picnic," he said.